It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Get Real News Hour, and I'm your host, Mike Murphy. Well, I'm super excited today. One, we have a great show for you. There's a lot of news breaking right now. But more importantly for me, you know, I love golf, and they're playing a major tournament, first one of the year. They're usually be done with all four of them now. They're playing the major PGA tournament in San Francisco at Harding Park. And why I'm super excited is I played in a tournament there in February and actually did one of my better performances of my life. But it's just a beautiful golf course, a beautiful area, and I'm excited to watch it Thursday through Sunday. So if you're a golfer and you like the majors, it should be a good one. Tiger's there and all the big boys. So anyways, like I said, today is it's 5 p.m. Pacific, August 4th, 2020. We're glad you're here. We have a lot to cover today, so I'm going to go a little quick. We're coming to you on Transformation Talk Radio. We have the lovely Jessica up in Seattle producing the show. I'm down here in Palm Springs where it's sunny and 109 degrees right now, but nothing to worry about. It goes down to 81 overnight, so it's a little warm down here. We're playing around with a phone-in number. If you're watching live, and I know most of you watch, you know, it's get the archived version and watch it later. But if you're watching live and you'd like to phone in, we do have an 800 number. I'd love to have your questions. I'd love to have your show ideas and any future guest ideas. The phone in number is 800-930-2819. And you do get a little recording, but it's not going to put you on hold. It's just going to prompt you to wait until someone can pick it up. Or you can email me at mike@mikemurphyunfiltered.com. And if you like the show, we ask that you subscribe and then give us a thumbs up, share it, whatever all that works in the YouTube world. We'd really appreciate it. We work really hard to bring you the real news with a little commentary on my part. And we're just glad to have you here. And we're excited. I think this is our fourth week now, I believe. So we're super excited the progress we're making and the comments that we're getting. So thank you. We appreciate it. And thanks for tuning in. So our first story for today is kind of funny. It came to me from Citizen Free Press, which is a good site that I go to every day. There's a lot of breaking news right now about Lebanon and Beirut. There's a big bomb, but we'll try to cover that tomorrow. I didn't have time today. But according to this article here, bear found with Trump 2020 sticker on collar. Liberals are triggered. North Carolina, I got to put my glasses on. It's not easy getting old. Okay. North Carolina bear spotted with Trump 2020 sticker on collar. Reward offered to find the culprit. Sheila Chapman tells News 13 the black bear wandered onto her front porch in North Asheville on July 31st when she noticed something colorful on its collar. She says bear sightings have become pretty common in the area, but she grabbed her phone to take pictures of the sticker. We have so many places in the world to put stickers and express our political views, Chapman says. Using a wild animal for that is cruel and inhumane. It's not okay. The photos of the bear outraged the group, Help Asheville Bears, and they've offered a $5,000 reward to anyone who can provide reliable information through their tip line and who put the cruel and inhumane sticker on the collar. Jessica, if you play the video, it's kind of comical to me.
A group in Western North Carolina wants to know more about why a sticker was found on a black bear. Take a look here. It says Trump 2020. Someone placed it on the top of a data collection collar. The group called Help Asheville's Bears says bears are not billboards. Bear sightings, of course, are common there in Western North Carolina, like this one caught on camera by a U-Local user in Yancey County. The group says people should not approach bears, and the group works to stop bear abuse. Tonight, it's offering a $5,000 reward for information on who applied that sticker.
It's so wrong. I mean, our wildlife is so beautiful around here, and I just can't imagine somebody doing harm to it like that. It's absolutely ridiculous.
If you have information, you can call this number on your screen, 855-SOS-BEAR. Again, the number right there on your screen. It is toll-free. A group of must.
If you want to have a good laugh, I encourage you to go hit the link. We'll give you the link below. Hit the link because the comments to this are hilarious. But there you have it. Bear, we're I think it takes a lot of courage to put that sticker on that bear, to be honest with you. All right, our next story comes from Citizen Free Press again. And this is the Karen, you know, the new buzzword Karen, throws her hot coffee on stranger for not wearing masks, gets beaten up, then plays victim with police. Video of the incident was captured by a body camera worn by the man's friend and shows the confrontation was initiated by the couple as they walked past the man and his friend as they were about to enjoy a meal on a bench in Manhattan Beach, California. You all need to be wearing masks, the woman can be heard telling them after noticing they didn't have their mask on. The friend of the person filming then tells her he can't eat his burrito with his mask on, as the man recording explains to them that they're on the other side of the fence and don't believe in this stuff. The woman's husband then starts arguing with the man's friend. What are you looking at me for? I didn't say blank to you. Get the blank out of my face, the man says before the woman douses him with her hot beverage. That was dumb, the man filming can be heard saying, as his friend runs over to the husband and lands a few punches on him. The man's girlfriend tries to intervene and tears the man's shirt off. You shouldn't have thrown the drink in his face. That was pretty stupid, the man filming tells the woman, who responds, I don't give a blank. I hope someone saw that. I would do it 10 times over, blank, blank. According to Donald Nguyen, the publisher of this article, the couple tries telling the cops that the man attacked them unprovoked, but his friend presented them with the body cam, and officers made the couple apologize to the man. So there's a good idea in there. And we should all wear a body cam. And the comments are hilarious here. We'll just play you a couple minutes of this. It's a long video. We'll just play you 2 minutes for a little laugh here.
Phone all the time, though, right?
I'm in the middle of talking to her about something personal regarding...
Hey,
oh, hi. Bye.
You don't need to be wearing masks.
No, we don't.
How do I eat a burrito with my mask on?
I wasn't talking to you guys, though. That's what I was laughing about. I was talking to him because he just had a conversation with our buddy Kevin that serves the drinks at Pete's.
Yeah.
We're locals here, but we're on the other side.
Too.
We're on the other side of the fence. We don't believe in this stuff.
No, that's cool, but you shouldn't go around calling
people. I wasn't calling you. So
well, I know, but I just keep that all to yourself, you know?
Well, no, not necessarily.
I mean,
because
I just don't think it's like...
I well, hear you.
Helping you.
It's okay. It's all right. I'm a business owner here for 30 years. I got it.
Are you gonna be okay?
I'm on Sepulveda. We only referral, but the business is Orbit, and we work. We work for companies and government. Yeah, but it's okay. We don't work for residents. It's environment. It's all right.
Look at me for. I didn't say shit to you. Get the fuck out.
Oh no! Don't get hit. Oh gee. Hey, Matt. Oh shit.
Hey,
that was dumb. Hey, what? Guys, stop.
Okay.
You don't know, hey. Huh? Hey.
Fuck off me.
Hey, stop.
Get her off me then. Stop. Get your girl off me.
Stop. Hey,
get her off me.
Stop.
You shouldn't have thrown the drink in his face.
I don't give a fuck.
You do
you
know.
Should not have thrown the drink. That was stupid. You shouldn't do that with somebody
hey,
that
you
likes.
You might have COVID now. You better go to the doctor.
You shouldn't have thrown the drink in his face.
Yeah,
that was pretty stupid. I don't know where you got off on doing that.
I hope that someone saw that, I would do it 10 times over, motherfucker.
Go ahead.
Fuck you.
I get to go home and laugh about it.
Cool.
You get to go home and cry.
I'm sure you get no fucking pussy in your whole life.
Oh, you're real angry.
What?
Yeah.
You're real angry.
You look angry. Look at
me. I'm smiling.
You, what you needed to do, you needed to learn to walk away.
Yeah, and I think we all need to learn to walk away, frankly. The world is getting crazier and crazier and crazier, you know. As I said, I think it was last week, you know, I just wear the damn mask now. I used to be, you know, resistant, rebellious. I think it's ridiculous, frankly, for me. But, you know, to fly on a plane, I got to wear it. To go into certain stores, I have to wear it. And so it's just the way it is. But the next video we're going to show you comes from Las Vegas. And this is a gambler removed from a famous Four Queens casino in handcuffs after he went in without wearing a mask. We'll just play another minute or two of this. But what's interesting, the people that are supporting the guy, they have their mask down around their neck. So they're not covering anything. But they, And I used to go to Vegas like 4 to 6 times a year, I would say. And I just have no desire to go there, sit there, play blackjack with a mask on, everybody else in the casino with a mask on. Just doesn't appeal to me. So I really don't see how these businesses are going to make it, frankly. And I think these masks are here for a long time to stay. So, Jessica, if you would, just play a couple minutes of this one. I think we get the idea. So the reason I wanted to bring this up again, and I'm going to get off this mask thing eventually, I hope. But yesterday I talked about a woman named Peggy Hall. And she's she comes from the Healthy American, and she's, you know, anti-mask wear. But there's a couple things that I didn't mention yesterday I want to just bring up today. And one is, she goes, attention businesses, guidelines are not laws. In reality, they can't make us wear these masks, and we could sue them and probably win. There is no statutory law in this state that requires wearing masks, social distancing, or taking temperatures. Your business is not required to follow these guidelines. And that's what we need, is businesses to stand up, not individuals. Guidelines are not law and not enforceable by law. Your business cannot discriminate against any patron who is not wearing a mask. This is a violation of civil law. That's always been my issue. The violation of civil law, which protects free and equal access to any business establishment of any kind whatsoever. Law enforcement will immediately be called if patron is harassed or intimidated in your establishment. And then she goes on, a message for the manager to be read out loud. A licensed medical professional is the only person qualified to give medical advice, including the advice to wear a mask, which negatively affects the respiratory system, neurological system, and immune system. Practicing medicine without a license is an offense punishable by law. There is no law in California that requires anyone to wear a mask into any business establishment. Guidelines are not laws. Remember, we talked yesterday, only legislatures can make laws. Equal access and accommodations in any business establishment whatsoever is protected by law. No citizen may be discriminated against based on a health condition. California code, blah, blah, blah. Any threat of intimidation in this matter will result in law enforcement being summoned. So I forgot to bring that up yesterday, but she brings up some good facts. So anyways, that's it for the mask debate today. And we're going to move on to some really positive news. I think it was a couple weeks ago I had on a guest, Jim Willey. We'll probably have him on again for a couple shows. I think in about 2 weeks, I'm hoping, if he can make it. A great guest. But you remember he said, I think silver then was around $20, $20 an ounce. And he said, hey, I don't care what the premium is. I don't care what it costs, buy silver. Okay. And so, and you can see in this article, gold prices surged midday Tuesday to reach an intraday record above 2013. Last time I looked today, it was over, I think it was 2035 or something. So gold is at an all-time high against the U.S. dollar. It's already been at its all-time high against all the other currencies worldwide. So gold right now is an all-time high. And if you have any cash laying around, or, you know, you got to be careful of anything paper, in my opinion, going forward. I'm not a financial investor. I'm not giving you advice. But in my own personal life, you know, I'm replacing anything paper with physical gold and silver. Silver jumps nearly 5%. I think it's like $26.50 right now. So gold and silver is going up. And I think this is a good protection and a good hedge for what's coming. Because I do believe that all this money that they're printing and are just clicking with a mouse, I think it's almost $10 trillion this year. Man, our debt is out of control. And like right now, they're fighting over this unemployment insurance. If that goes away, that's going to hurt a lot of people, a lot of people that really can't afford to get hurt. The stock market just can't stay like this. You know, the Fed is buying the equities now. I don't think a lot of regular people are buying them. So the whole thing could blow up. And so I think it's always good to have a little gold and silver to, you know, to barter with, to buy stuff with. We don't know where this is going, but I think it's going to continue to go up based on everything I read. and everything else probably going to go down. So just a little FYI. All right, next story today is New York City crime spree knocks on the doorsteps of America's ultra-rich. I kind of like this because I'm not a big fan of those bankers and those Wall Street guys that make their money taking advantage of people like you and me. And it goes on to say, New York City's Upper East Side, which is where the rich of the rich live, is seeing a significant uptick in robberies, police say. And it goes on to say, as billionaire Glenn Dubin and hedge fund funder John Paulson has been riddled with a recent uptick in crime, including a weekend gunpoint robbery spree, police said. The New York Police Department's 19th precinct oversees the Upper East Side between East 59th Street and East 96th Street, described by the NYPD as one of the most densely populated residential areas in Manhattan, and wealthy, I may add. Over roughly the past month, the precinct has seen robberies skyrocket 286% compared with the same period last year, with 27 reported incidents, the precinct wrote on Twitter. Five of them were gunpoint robberies. You know, I live in Medellin, Colombia, when I'm not here in the United States, and it's safer there in Colombia than it is here. That's the way I feel. I mean, I have no problem walking around 24/7. I never fear getting robbed or anything bad. I'm not stupid, mind you, but, and I think that's how we have to be here. And that's just New York City. I mean, I would imagine this is happening throughout all these major cities, and it's just not getting the proper coverage. And I didn't give this one to Jessica Post, but this is just another article that supports the New York City. NYPD, shootings and murders rose dramatically in July. Violence with firearms continues to rise in New York City this summer amid the global coronavirus pandemic and economic turmoil, according to statistics released by the New York City Police Department. Murders, burglaries, and auto thefts are sharply up, while grand larceny assaults and hate crime are down. The NYPD recorded 244 shootings in July 2020 versus 88 in July 2019, which is a 177% increase. Shootings rose in July in every bureau, police said. Through July 31, the city has experienced a 72% spike in shootings compared to the same time last year. So, you know, it's only going to get worse. As the economy continues to collapse, as more and more people lose their jobs, if they do away with this unemployment insurance, you can take it back to normal. That's not a living wage. People can't live on that. And you're going to have a big mess. You know, I'm down here in Palm Springs. A lot of people are moving here and moving out of the cities. But not everybody has that luxury to be able to get out of the city and move somewhere where it's safe. And that's the injustice. So there we have it. Here's an interesting article. Portland's America's whitest big city is an unlikely hub of Black Lives Matter. Often called the whitest U.S. big city, more than 70% of the population is non-Latino white, whatever that means. I'm assuming 70% of the population is white. Portland has transformed into a national center for a movement that might seem more at home in Chicago, all the protests, New York or Los Angeles, or another more diverse locale. Black Lives Matter has become an ubiquitous rallying cry in a city where only about 6% of the population is black, while almost 10% is Latino and 8%. So it's a big white city that's having all these protests with Black Lives Matter. And I'll go back to what I believe, that Black Lives Matter and Antifa is more about overthrowing American democracy and bringing in socialism via communism and eventually communism as it is about racism. My opinion on racism is terrible. It shouldn't exist. But every group of people have some racist biases if they're not educated and they're not taught that it's wrong. But the real problem in the African-American community is this economic injustice. And I am all for correcting that. Whatever it takes to make it fair. I think that community has been treated so badly by the American government. And anything we can do to fix that, I'm all for. Okay. So here's our next story. And this one, I remember this one very, very well. This is when all the looting took off in Minnesota. And I remember this guy, they call him the Umbrella Man. Okay, so this article goes on, waiting for the Umbrella Man or someone like him. Who can take a city, burn it to the ground? The Umbrella Man can, at least according to the search warrant affidavit filed by Minneapolis police officer Erica Christensen last week. Minneapolis police say Umbrella Man was a white supremacist trying to incite George Floyd rioting. The story has made waves around the world. Now, so far as I can tell, Umbrella Man has not been arrested. He remains at large. LIBOR did not identify him in his July 28th story because he has not been charged. So when I first saw it, the rumor going around was that he was, I think, a St. Paul, Minnesota police officer. And I have no reason to believe that that's not true to this day. And this is some propaganda to cover up that and give that guy a break. Because I believe a lot of these riots were orchestrated. You know, like overnight they had all the shirts they needed and all the protest signs and everything. It just happened so quickly. It looked to me like people were anticipating this event. So let's play that video of the Umbrella Man, if we can, Jessica.
I ain't got part of that shit. I zoomed in. I'll zoom out a little bit. Those cops will come for you if you're pulling that crap.
What I find very interesting about that video, I mean, that guy was there to do that job. There's no doubt about that. And what's interesting is the African-American people say, hey, dude, don't do this, man. This is what brings the cops. We don't want this problem. We don't want to do this. And that's why I say a lot of these damage in these cities was done by these paid groups. And I thought it was interesting. The guy, you know, the Umbrella Man wants to fight the kid that's following him. The kid says, hey, someone hold my joint. Let's go. So I just think, again, there's we got to wake up and we got to dig deep, and we just can't take the sound bites and believe them. There's a lot more going on in this country, and we are responsible for it. We need to stop it. We need to come together, quit fighting over stupid stuff, and realize who the real enemy is. And I'm going to get into that in a minute here. So here's another article from Breitbart. Communist Party leader endorses Joe Biden. And Communist Party leader Bob Avakian has announced his support for former Vice President Joe Biden in the upcoming presidential election. Avakian, the founder and leader of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA, told his followers in a statement on Saturday that they should vote for Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election. And I really, you know, like I said, I'm not pro-Trump, I'm not pro-Biden, I'm not pro-Republican, I'm not pro-Democrat. But I will say this, I do think a Biden presidency, a Democratic presidency, and especially if they take over the Senate as well as they already have the Congress, we will become a socialist / communist country eventually. I really believe this, and I'm going to get into why in a minute. And the thing that bugs me the most is, first of all, Trump's never, well, they're not going to endorse Trump anyways, but he wouldn't accept it. You know what I mean? And, you know, Biden's been there 40 years. All those Democrats have been there 40 years. And so have the stupid Republicans that don't get anything done in the no getting anything done Congress. But Trump's been there 3.5 years, and he's not a politician. I know everybody on the left hates the guy, but we'll get into that in a second. So our next article here is very interesting. This comes from San Francisco Gate. coronavirus sniffing dogs dispatched to Dubai airport. Dogs sniff passenger body odor with 92% accuracy. In the United Arab Emirates, all arriving passengers must submit to COVID-19 testing prior to their trips and show negative results to be admitted into the country. But this week, Dubai International Airport, which, by the way, I've been there, is an amazing, beautiful airport, started using police dogs for an on-airport rapid COVID-19 testing, which reportedly can produce results in minutes with 92% accuracy. And they smell the armpit of the passenger. Early reports of using dogs to sniff out the coronavirus proved that the concept could work in test environments, but this appears to be one of the first instances of it being put to use as a world solution. Dogs have also been able to sniff out several other diseases that can affect body odor, such as cancer or malaria. So I just found that very interesting, and I can't wait to go through TSA, you know, with my mask on and taking all my clothes off and all my electronics on the table and everything else, and then have a dog sniff me to see if I can fly or not. These are some interesting times we are in, folks. So our next story here is from USA Today, and we're in for a bad and rocky ride. Ex-World Health Organization doctor who helped eradicate smallpox predicts COVID-19 turmoil for years. People will need a small yellow card at airports to show immunization against the COVID-19 virus. It's coming, the vaccine. Schools, restaurants, and sports stadiums will be equipped with quick, inexpensive testing stations for students and customers, maybe dogs. The world will be fighting coronavirus for the next 3 to 4 years as virus hotspots skip from nation to nation, and the pandemic's toll will linger for decades, said Dr. Larry Brilliant, a California epidemiologist who is part of the World Health Organization's team in the 1970s that helped eradicate smallpox. But it's not all doom and gloom. With effective vaccines likely to emerge from dozens of candidates worldwide and effective treatments, including convalescent plasma and monoclonal antibodies to help people recover more quickly, said Brilliant. No hydroxychloroquine or whatever that stuff's called, okay, who chairs any pandemics advisory board. We will still be chasing the virus 4 years from now. How do they know this stuff? But it won't be like today. And he goes on to say, the immediate challenges are Labor Day get-togethers. Already, now we can't get together Labor Day. You know, I think it was Wisconsin, you have to wear your mask at home now. The return of schools, flu season in the fall, and winter-long election lines in November, said Brilliant, who was an advisor for the 2011 film Contagion and team doctor for the rock band The Grateful Dead. So I haven't researched this guy. I don't want to talk disparagingly about him, but I have a feeling he's an insider pushing an agenda, and I'll just leave it at that. Do your own research. But that's his opinion, that it's going to be here 4 years from now and probably never leaving us. Okay. Now, I really respect this next person that wrote this article. His name is Lou Rockwell, and he has a website, lourockwell.com. He goes on to write, the coronavirus response is pure state terrorism based on propaganda. The true terrorists of our world do not meet at the docks at midnight or scream Allah Akbar before some violent action. The true terrorists of our world wear $5,000 suits and work in the highest positions of finance, government, and business. Peter Joseph, Zeitgeist Addendum, Documentary History of War. So that's who that quote is attributed to. So now Lou Rockwell talks. So who are the real terrorists today? They are those that seek to gain total power and control over all of us, and they are called the state. Politically speaking, the use of terrorism is a mighty weapon because it instills much fear into the hearts of man and can, and ruling class fully understands this concept. and use it as a psychological tool to control the people. And by doing so, the terroristic state claims to be our protector and savior instead of our aggressor. Only a system controlled by psychopaths would use such a strategy. David Icke talks a lot about, you know, problem, reaction, solution. And that's what they're doing right now. They've created this problem. They're watching our reaction, and they're going to come up with a solution, which I believe is the vaccination. Do not mistake anything about what is going on today. And do not underestimate the sinister aspect of this long planned and purposely manufactured false pandemic. This is an act of terror that has been created for the purpose of spreading fear in order to gain more power and complete control over the world population. This is not only a state-sponsored terrorism, but is an active terroristic plot being accomplished by the state itself. The difference this time is that it is not cloaked in mystery or secrecy. There is no threat of bombs, and no group is claiming responsibility for this attack on humanity. It is a terror by stealth alone, as this new claimed killer of the innocent is said to be a virus that has never even been properly or scientifically isolated or identified. No shot had to be fired in order to panic the masses. And all that was needed was a lie that could be easily sold to a population. It gets a little hard here, folks, so don't take this the wrong way if he's talking to you, of pathetic, brainwashed sheep awaiting their own slaughter. Pretty strong words. He goes on to write, during this terrorist attack on the masses by the use of propagandized virus scheme, the rich continue to get richer while all the rest of humanity suffers. Wealth transfers at this level have never occurred. And with any continuation of this insanity, poverty will become universal in nature. This will necessarily finish off the middle class once and for all, leaving the very few privileged at the top and all others at the bottom of the heap. This is the system desired, as any society that sinks into the abysmal state of rulers and serfs is bound to favor those claiming elite status. Once most of society becomes fully dependent due to the destruction of their lives and work, subordination to authority becomes commonplace, and the doling out of morsels by the state will be viewed as a benevolent act when in fact it will only be used as a control measure. The next major phase of this terror plot will be to roll out a new COVID vaccine and vaccination mandates worldwide. He goes on to say, we're headed into even more dangerous waters as the state continues. Hiding behind a mask will not protect you from what is about to come. And he ends it with a quote from Aldous Huxley, who gave a speech at the Berkeley Language Center March 20th, 1962. I forget the book he wrote. Orwell wrote 1984, and Huxley wrote, I can't remember, but pretty much these guys were insiders to the cabal and they knew what was coming. So they wrote these books and it's all coming true right now before our very eyes. So Huxley said, there will be in the next generation or so, he said this in 1962, a pharmacological method of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies, so that people will, in fact, have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it. And Orwell's 1984 says the same thing, and I can't remember Huxley's book, but basically says the same thing, that, you know, they're going to brainwash us so deeply, and I think through vaccinations and other and all this technology, they're going to make us grateful for this lousy life. And if you think about it, I'm 63, right? So I know, you know, what it's like the last 63 years. It's been pretty darn good living here in America. And I will say, having been a white person born in 1957, that's a blessing. Let's be honest, okay? I do a lot of things to try to give back and make it fair and just. But I look at my grandkids, you know, and you know, they're hooked on these devices already, these Fortnite or whatever that game is called. And, you know, this is going to be appealing to them. Take a vaccine. You can probably play in your own video games now. You don't have to carry a wallet because your money will be in your bloodstream. So I get how they can you know, and then they'll get rid of people like me, either through attrition or some other way, and those kids won't know any difference. And so they'll just be grateful, you know, they won't miss NFL stadiums full of fans or golf tournaments, man. This is the new normal. And I won't talk about that right now, but maybe tomorrow. Okay, so now I want to get into some heavy stuff, all right? We had a little fun with the news, but now I want to talk about some heavy stuff here. I watched in the last 2 days a new Amazon Prime documentary called The Last Narc. And it is mind-blowing. Now, I already knew all this stuff, but to see it in a film like this, to see it becoming mainstream now, is exciting on one hand. I hope it's not too late. I hope everybody will watch it. I hope everybody will wake up to what's really going on with this government, wake up to who really runs this world, and man, maybe we might have a chance to change it. So here's this article. Amazon's The Last Narc suggests the CIA helped kidnap and murder DEA agent. The Last Narc chronicles the probe by DEA Special Agent Hector Bareilles, above a picture of him above, into the murder of Kiki Camarena. Okay, I remember this story, and I've read so much about it in the last 15 years or so, but this documentary is powerful. When DEA narcotics agent Enrique Kiki, that was his nickname, Camarena, was kidnapped and interrogated in 1985 by the leaders of Mexico's Guadalajara cartel, it was like a party. They allegedly held him in a house filled with spectators and depraved participants, including Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, then a foot soldier. He was a nobody then, just a foot soldier. It goes on to say, you had a bunch of drug lords sitting around freebasing cocaine and torturing this guy. Tiller Russell, director of the new Amazon docuseries, The Last Narc, told The Post. This is an article of the Washington Post, or New York Post, I believe. They were blasted out of their minds, doing cannonballs on his chest, jumping up and down on his chest. They broke his ribs, anally penetrating him with a broomstick, putting out cigarettes on his skin. And it was all taped. This is where it gets interesting. Also in the mix, corrupt Mexican politicians and, according to sources in the series, CIA agent Felix Rodriguez. Okay, and he's got a bad, bad history, and he was really close to George H.W. Bush, allegedly there to protect American interests in a tangled web of drugs, money, and dirty politics. Of course, Rodriguez has denied any involvement in claims, but you watch this series, and you'll probably come away with me thinking this guy's as guilty as sin. As he told The Post, cartel leaders and American operatives wanted to find out what Kiki knew about collusion between the cartel and the CIA and what he might spill upon his upcoming reassignment back to the United States. They were moving. He was 2 weeks away from going home and leaving Mexico. Informants told Bareilles, who was the investigator, the investigator that really went overboard to break this case, that Kiki was stripped to his jockey shorts, blindfolded, and subjected to torture-filled interrogations that were captured on audio tape. That's why we know it was the CIA. The Mexican cartel doesn't blindfold you, and they don't audio tape it, okay? They know you're going to die, and they're going to torture you and then kill you, so they don't care if they see you, okay? But this is typical CIA behavior. Those last two factors set off alarm bells for Bareilles, now 74. Drug lords don't blindfold. You know who they are, and you will not survive, he said. Nor do they memorialize their interrogation. That is CIA methodology. When he passed out, a cartel-connected physician, they brought in their doctor, injected his heart with reviving pharmaceuticals. Then the torture continued. Finally, after 2 days, his body gave out, and a thug put Kiki out of his misery, cracking him across the skull with a steel rebar. And in this documentary, his wife is in it a lot. You'll hear from her. I'm going to get deeper into this. In this series, Bareilles, the DEA agent that broke his claims his efforts were shut down by his DEA bosses after he pieced together details about the CIA's cocaine and gun operation. He maintains that the CIA functioned hand in glove with the cartel, allegedly using drug money to finance covert military operations, much like the Iran-Contra affair of the same era. This all ties into the Iran-Contra, and this is George H.W. Bush was at the helm of this. And I really encourage you to watch this documentary. And I really encourage you to read this book. I bought this book, maybe 2005 or something. It's called Transformation America. And in it, you will see that Gerald Ford was a pedophile. George H.W. Bush was a pedophile. Many senators, she names them. This was a MK Ultra victim. And so MK Ultra was a CIA plan. It came from Nazi Germany. After the war, the United States government brought all those officers from Nazi Germany that were in those concentration camps, were working on mind control using children as bait and guinea pigs. And what they do is they will torture them so bad, and then they break their mind into alters, different personalities. So the CIA thought this was great. And so this woman, Kathy O'Brien, in this book, Transformation of America, this is the 16th printing in 2001. I hate to think how many printings now. I'm just going to read the back of it. Transformation America is the documented autobiography of a victim of government mind control. Kathy O'Brien is the only vocal and recovered survivor of the Central Intelligence Agency's MK Ultra Project Monarch Mind Control Operation. Chiseled deep into the white stone of the CIA's Langley, Virginia headquarters is a partial verse lifted from the Holy Bible and writings of St. John, "And the truth shall make you free." This statement, like the agency, is total reality. The building that it is engraved upon houses the world's most successful manufacturer of lies to facilitate psychological warfare. The company uses truth and technology as the raw materials to produce pure lies for control of you and America's allies. Within the pages of Transformation America, you will find the truth. This book is so mind-blowing, and it just shows you how evil these people are. George H.W. Bush, Gerald Ford, Jesse Helms, I forget the other guy that was Robert Byrd, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton. This will blow your mind. It's been out, I think it was first published in 95. And the only reason she's alive, she was rescued by a CIA agent named Mark Phillips, who rescued her, eventually helped her get her mind back. And they still have her daughter, at least the last time I read this book, they still have her daughter. So she sued the United States government to get her daughter out of this being a sex slave and this torture and this terrible life. She sued the United States government. She had all the evidence. It was a slam dunk case. The judge threw it out because of national security, because it would implicate George H.W. Bush. And if you think I'm nuts, you can probably Google this. It still exists. I think it was the Washington Post, the Franklin cover-up story, where Bush was running a call boy operation out of the White House during the Reagan administration. They were bringing kids from Boys Town, these orphans, okay, that are in the Boys Town, probably being abused by Catholic priests, I don't know, and bring them to the White House and then sending them over with Barney Frank and all these other people. And this is what Epstein and Maxwell were doing. You know, they get these senators, they give them drugs, they get them drunk, they got a young boy or a young girl, okay, they get them high, and they film them having sex or abusing these kids. It goes on. The Franklin cover-up is another story. This is your government, ladies and gentlemen, that has been doing this for such a long time. I believe after they killed JFK, it's gotten totally out of control. And even before JFK, Eisenhower warned us about the great military corporation or the industrial military complex that's going to control America. That's what's happened, you know. The military spent $700-800 billion a year on our military, and we are broke. So anyways, I encourage you to look into the last NARC thing is out right now. It's only been out for 4 or 5 days, I believe. It'll blow your mind. But I hope that leads you to read this book and study what's going on. This is beyond evil, what's going on in the world. Okay, so I was going to go deeper into that, but I'm not, because someone sent me late in the afternoon here today. This is on BitChute. I really encourage you. I think it's only about a 15, 18-minute interview. Remember a couple days ago we talked about this Dr. Simone Gold? She runs this organization, America's Doctors, America's Frontline Doctors, and they went to Washington, D.C., a dozen or so doctors, and gave a news conference on the steps in front of the Supreme Court talking about hydroxychloroquine and zinc and all that stuff, and it got killed and censored everywhere, okay? Glenn Beck has her on, and this interview is mind-blowing. I'm not gonna play it to you, but I'll just give you my notes, my takeaway. And she's also, besides being a emergency room physician, a licensed medical doctor, she's also a lawyer. So imagine that. And she started America's Frontline Doctors, and she has been silenced everywhere. Zuckerberg, when the head of Facebook, when he was being grilled by Congress the other day, he said that, you know, what this lady is saying could kill people. That hydroxychloroquine could kill people. All right. She has an excellent resume, and you can listen to Glenn Beck. He gives you their full resume. And she's been under attack. All she's trying to do is help people because, you know, there is something to this COVID-19 virus. I mean, it whether it's a bioweapon or whatever it is, people get it and they get sick. It's not everybody. Some people don't have symptoms. Like I mentioned the other day, Jack Nicklaus is in his 80s, his wife, you know, very, very little symptoms. But some people it does affect, especially people that are obese, have diabetes, heart condition, things like this. They can get sick. And because I've read of some firsthand accounts, and I trust the people that are writing about this experience. So what they've been doing in a lot of these places is they're curing them with this hydroxychloroquine and zinc and a Z-Pak. And it works. And it also works as a prophylactic to avoid getting the disease. And so, you know, I remember when Trump said he was taking it for a prophylactic, everybody gave him a bad time and thought he was this medicine has been available for like 65 years. Okay. FDA approved. 65 years. In many countries, it's sold over the counter. I promise you, you know, I can't guarantee it, but I would be surprised in the country I live in, Colombia, that all drugs there are almost over the counter. You hardly need a prescription for anything. And they're dirt cheap. I mean, dirt cheap compared to here. So, and the FDA says that this drug is safe for the past 65 years. She goes, we are at a real turning point not being able to prescribe this medicine. Because here's what's happening. You know, as a doctor, as a medical doctor, okay, you know, it's prescribed for malaria, I believe lupus, maybe a couple other things. That's called label, the label or the what it can be used for. And then off-label is to use it for this COVID-19, in which doctors have the right to do, okay? But what's happening is the governors are going to the pharmacies and prohibiting the pharmacies to fill the doctor's prescription. Never in the history of our country has this ever happened. And people are dying because of this. You know, the media is lying. And people are dying. And it's insane in the censorship. And it was interesting. Glenn Beck, it turns out, his entire family had COVID-19. And his doctor, he talked his doctor into giving him this drug along with the zinc and all that stuff. And they all got well. So you tell me why this is happening, you know, in my opinion. Oh, and she goes on to say, check this out. So for a long time, you know, 6-8 weeks, she said, well, I thought it's because they hate Trump so much that they're making they're just trashing this medicine that's been around 65 years and is safe. Okay. She thought it's because they hate Trump so much and he came out for it. Then she discovers on January 13th of this year, 2020, January 13th, you were able to get this drug over the counter in France. And on that date, France took it away from being sold over the counter, made it a class 2 drug where you needed a prescription. So why? And what's interesting, okay, there's a paper published in 2005. So the precursor to COVID-19 was SARS-CoV-1, okay? And that was the precursor for SARS-CoV-2, which is basically what we have now. And so in a paper published in Virology publication with Anthony Fauci was aware of, okay, they go on to say that this will work for SARS-CoV-1. Okay, so if it works for SARS-CoV-1, and the other thing is, everybody's telling you that that this is a novel. This coronavirus 2, this COVID-19, this coronavirus is novel. No, it's 78% identical to SARS-CoV-1. So it's not novel. So the same drug that used on SARS-CoV-1, it makes perfect sense that it would work on this. But it's a prophylactic, right? So early in the disease, if you get COVID-19, early into the disease, you take this hydroxychloroquine with a zinc and the Z-Pak, boom, you're cured. But the other drug that Fauci is pushing, and I believe owns part of the patent or is maybe as much as 50% of this medicine, I think it's called Reversimir or Remersivir. I forget. I didn't write it down. But so that's, they're pushing that. So now I get sick with COVID-19. Now you take that, and that will work once you've already developed a bad case of the disease. That's the drug they want to push along with the vaccine. So just very, very interesting. And I think what has to happen now is people need to start suing the government and suing these governors that are the ones censoring this doctor and putting out all this disinformation. And according to her in this interview, I really encourage you to watch his interview with Glenn Beck, is according to her, now 100,000 Americans would be alive today. Now, in my opinion, based on all the research I've done, a lot of these death numbers are fabricated and you know, a lot of elderly people that were going to die anyway, whether it be the flu, pneumonia, or what have you, were labeled COVID-19. Even people, George Floyd had COVID-19, even people in automobile accidents, suicides, so on and so forth. So I really, really encourage you to watch that interview and pay attention to what's going on and ask yourself, why is everything being censored? I mean, free speech is a fundamental right and one of the key tenets that makes America great. And now everything is being censored by these social media companies and everywhere else. And it makes absolutely no sense to me. We're all smart enough and mature enough to do our own research and to figure out what's best for us and our families. And all of a sudden we're censoring doctors and a trained doctor and Zuckerberg, who's not a doctor, is saying, you know, she's giving bogus advice. And the whole world is going crazy, you guys, and we need to do something about it. So anyways, what I'd love to do going forward, I hope you're enjoying the show. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, you know, please share it with your friends. I put a lot of time and energy into this. I hope I'm doing an okay job, but it's really for you guys. You know, I'm not getting paid to do this. I really just, you know, like I said, I have 4 children, 6 grandchildren, 1 on the way. And as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, a righteous man lives for the next generation. And what I'd love to get into, if you know anybody that's struggling in life, you know, this book, The Creation Frequency, which I published a couple years ago, I've been doing this process. It's a very unique manifestation process, not taught anywhere else. I was fortunate to have a very smart guy teach it to me in 1982. And believe me, I was a total lost kid. I was in my early 20s with no future, no education, no life, no finances, no hope, really. And this man taught me a process of manifestation that works. And I mean, I have an amazing life. Doesn't mean I don't have problems. Doesn't mean I don't have hardships and struggles. But I got to tell you, I look at other people's life, I look at mine, and man, I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams. And I really believe it's because of what this book says and what it taught me. The book is only 10 bucks, but I would love to have people call in and really talk to me about the law of attraction, manifestation, and how to create the life of your dreams. That's what I'm most passionate about. I know I cover a lot of negative stuff because I want people to wake up to what's really going on in this country. And I think once we do, then we can have a more adult conversation of how to fix these problems and what we can do about it. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back tomorrow live, 5 p.m. Pacific. I hope you'll phone in if you want to send me any email or information. I'm getting a lot of information from you guys. I appreciate it. It's Mike and MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com. Until 5 p.m. tomorrow Pacific, go out and have a great evening.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.